Greetings from Podcastville. The Church of What's Happening Now is brought to you by CBD Lion. Listen, they have fucking rebuilt my fucking hamstring. Do you understand me? Between the cream, between the little gummies that I have here today with me today, my little orange 500 milligram and the raspberry ones, they've been there for me. My hamstring at night, this is what I rub on it at night when I come out of the shower when it's done miracles. So listen, if you're looking for a CBD that is quality, that is real, go to CBD Lion right now. Look at the third-party lab results for yourself. This is the best stuff out there. Who told you? Your Uncle Joey. Also, the church is brought to you by Athletic Greens. If you're not starting the day off with a blast of vitamins, you're already lost. Go back to bed and fucking stay there all day. But if you want to feel tip-top Magoo, let Athletic Greens do the dirty work. They got you covered in five critical areas. You ready? Health, energy, immunity, gut health, and hormonal support. Who takes care of you like that? Nobody. So do me a favor. The church family gets a special offer. We're going to give you 20 free travel packs valued at $79 with your first purchase. Jump over to athleticgreens.com/church, C-H-U-R-C-H, to get your travel packs today. That's athleticgreens.com/church. The church is also brought to you by, let me ask you something. How are you covered for life insurance? You're probably sitting there scratching your head. Joey, what's life insurance? What happens if you slip on a fucking banana peel and your kid still has to go to school? If you're not covered already, put life insurance on the top of your to-do list. Policy Genius makes it quick and easy. Find the right life insurance at the best price. So listen, don't be a schmuck. If you need life insurance, head to policygenius.com. It only takes a few minutes to find the right policy, insurance policy, apply, and have another thing crossed off your list for 2020. Policy Genius, when it comes to life insurance, it's nice to get it right. And tell them the Church of What's Happening Now sent you. It's got a beautiful fucking day to be alive. Kick this fucking mule, Lee. It's Thursday, the 19th of December. We got five more shoplifting days. Make them count, cocksuckers. Oh, yeah. A little slow and easy for you. Out of respect. Little Chris Cornell. Fucking nuts. You got Professor Joey Alvarado.
Yay, yay.
The Christ Killer. And your Uncle Joey. Nice. Are you fucking kidding me? Nice.
Best singer of all time, in my opinion.
Nice. Professor, what's happening, you bad motherfucker?
Man, just doing my thing.
Still slinging teaching, kettlebells at 5:30 in the morning.
Always, man.
Three days a week over there.
I teach 20 classes a week.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, man.
That's my full-time job, so like, you know.
So you teach seven kettlebell classes a week.
Teach,
you
have Saturday? No, I teach six.
Six.
So like I teach one a day over there. And then the rest, really? Rest is all jujitsu.
So Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, it's 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday, Thursday, it's at night.
It's at night, 6:30.
Saturday.
At 10 a.m., yeah.
Good.
And then the jujitsu, you know, we have a ton of people over there, so I teach the rest is all jujitsu classes. Then I have a couple private clients as well.
You still do the basics, though?
I do most of the fundamentals. My morning jujitsu classes are like all levels. And then at noon I do a fundamentals class while Professor Alberto teaches the advanced. And then in the evening I do a couple fundamental classes as well. So most of the time I do most of the fundamentals. Me and Josiah. You know Josiah. Yeah. Oh, and your boy Marco too. Marco, he's teaching some of the fundamentals.
So the fundamentals are now 6:30 and 7:30. 8:30 is now like a fucking expert class.
Well, they're splitting it up now. Because we have a lot more black belts now and so we have more students, so we have to accommodate everybody, man. Like, you know, we have people who are advanced but can only train at like 8:30. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's good. So you can, we split the classes up now. So we just have all kinds of classes, man. You got to go on the schedule. It's just too many to talk about.
It is.
It's crazy.
I saw his awesome graduation class a couple of weeks ago, and I got to hand it to him, man.
It was insane, man.
It's fucking insane.
It's insane how many students we have there now. It's fucking dope.
And when it comes to Burbank, North Hollywood, all this up here, he's got the main lunchtime class.
Man, you know what? Honestly, dude, I don't know another gym in LA that is has as many students as us.
Jean-Jacques.
Does he? I've never been.
Jean-Jacques.
I would love to train with Jean-Jacques. I would love to train with Jean-Jacques. I got my black belt from his brother, Hajar.
Jean-Jacques got a great lunchtime class up there.
I'm talking about in general altogether, though. It's crazy because our legacy is like popping from like 5 in the morning to like fucking the evening, man. It's fucking crazy. It's amazing. Like Professor Alberto has really done it, like created kind of like a little mecca of jiu-jitsu and fitness out there now. So we have everything.
I still remember when he was, when Justin Fortune was his boxing coach. That's how
I never met Justin Fortune, but I know a lot of people who have trained
with him. That's how I connected with Alberto in New Mexico when I was shooting The Longest Yard.
God damn.
And then I connected with him.
That was a long time ago because he's, man, New Mexico.
2004.
Wow.
We used to all go, me, Ivan Salaberry, Bob Sapp.
Ivan Salaberry, I remember that guy. Bob Sapp. Maury, you say Bob
Smith,
Sapp?
Bob Sapp. Maury Smith. We would Maury all Smith go to Alberto's because it was close to the hotel.
I bet you half the people listening right now don't even know who Maury Smith is.
Yeah, just this badass kickboxer.
Oh, man. He was the first guy to solve the puzzle, man. Like, you know, like he learned how to scramble back to his feet. Instead of like getting into a jiu-jitsu match, if somebody took him down, he would just wait to stand up and then kickbox their ass. Remember when he fought Mark Coleman?
You know, I didn't fight. I didn't watch fighting then.
Oh, man.
That's when I thought Joe Rogan was crazy.
You didn't even know Joe Rogan back then?
Yes. I knew Joe. You knew him? I know Joe since 98. And they would talk to me. Then I met Eddie through Joe.
Uh-huh.
And I would get in a car with them. And I'm thinking about snorting coke and getting my dick sucked. And they're up there talking about jiu-jitsu sweeps. And I'm like, what the fuck is a jiu-jitsu sweep? I came from the 70s where you swept.
Was this before Joey Karate?
This is before Joey Karate, and this is before Eddie Abu Dhabi. This is before Eddie even dreamt of going to Abu Dhabi.
Eddie Abu Dhabi.
So Joe and Eddie were training partners.
At okay, at John Jock's back then.
And they would you couldn't shut them up.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't shut them the fuck
back
up.
Back then, they were relatively new to it.
They were Eddie was already Eddie, like he was a brown belt.
Okay.
And Joe was like a blue belt.
Oh wow!
And Joe went every day, and that's all they talked about, and it was fucking annoying as fuck. But it was educational. It was being around something. They would, and then they would talk about, you know, I was raised in traditional martial arts.
Mm-hmm, me too.
I was raised in a time when Bruce Lee was, you know, that was, you know, the gi, and you ran on the streets, you know, and you fucking broke boards, and you hit the fucking...
Did all that.
Little pads that the guy would hold. Yeah. And you weren't real if your knuckles weren't busted up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like I had calluses on my knuckles.
Like if you're Urikawa.
I had calluses because my...
Whatever that fucking thing is called.
The Makiwara?
Makiwara.
You know, it's funny you say that? I had the pleasure of training next to Dan Inosanto. You know Dan Inosanto?
Yeah.
Like, I did a Muay Thai camp, like, back in the mid-90s. And he was telling us Bruce Lee stories. And one of the things he told us about Bruce Lee is that he never stopped working out. And he said he had one of those Maki Rawers, or whatever you call it, in the fucking car. He'd just be fucking hitting that motherfucker in the car. Or he'd be bouncing Brandon off his abs, doing ab workouts when he was watching TV. Like, he's like, he'd never stop fucking working out, man. But yeah, like, my master used to have wooden floors, so we used to do our push-ups on our knuckles. So then I had fucking calluses on my first two knuckles. And I mean, that shit would like strike fear into people. People would like look at my knuckles and be like,
"That was it. You had to have your knuckles fucked up."
Yeah.
I grew up under that
OG shit.
I grew up under that tent, and then I got out of karate at 16, and I went a different direction. Then I met Rogan like at 36 or something, and they're talking about this UFC, and I put it on. It's this fucking Tank Abbott, who looks like he hasn't stopped eating cheeseburgers in 20 years, against some other guy that looks like just got out of prison.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is fucking disgusting, you know? And like, I think I watched two, remember that there were, I was living in Denver when all those UFCs would start, only Colorado let you get.
Oh, yeah, 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 but for sure back then.
So
yeah.
My friends wouldn't shut up about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And like I said, I watched one time, I saw some big fat guy in like a bodysuit, and I saw some guy in like prison fucking stripes, and I was like, this isn't martial arts. This is a fucking joke.
Yeah, yeah.
And they would talk about it continually. You know, our relationship grew as friends. Mm-hmm. Eddie went to Abu Dhabi, opened up the Hammer House, mm-hmm. his first school. And then he opened up...
was that with Mark Coleman?
No. He opened up on Santa Monica. But I don't know what it was. What are you listening to me for?
Bomb Squad. Oh, Legends.
Bomb Squad.
Bomb Squad. Well, you're right. Damn, Lee.
He opened up Bomb Squad, and then they moved to La Brea and between Hollywood and Sunset, next to that disgusting Thai restaurant. Where I went in there one time with them, and while we were eating, I wasn't eating.
Is that when he partnered up with like Boss Rutten and Randy Couture?
No,
opened up Legends?
Yes,
Legends. Yeah,
they partnered up with Chris
Riley. Wasn't it Chris Riley?
He used to coach Rampage.
Yeah, he was a Muay Thai coach.
Muay Thai coach.
I'm pretty
sure.
You're
so upset about this. Ever you've talked about this Thai restaurant for 9 years?
What's up with the Thai restaurant?
Because they were eating Thai food. I was next door, and I went in there. I was minding my own business. So I lived on the corner of that school.
Oh, yeah? You used to live right down there?
I lived in Hollywood. I lived between Hollywood and Sunset on Selma.
Uh-huh.
And there were nights I had nothing to do early, and I would walk to whatever that was on the corner there.
The Thai restaurant?
Tenth Planet.
Oh, Tenth Planet.
Next to it was the Thai restaurant. And one day I go, where's that? And they're like, they're next door eating Thai food. And I go next door, I sit down. They're eating that disgust, fucking waiters with slippers on and shit, dry feet. I'm fucking getting aggravated. And all of a sudden, in the middle of my aggravation, just to compliment what I was thinking, a roach fell from the ceiling onto the table. And it landed on its back, so it was little claws. And I said, I told you motherfuckers not to eat this filthy food. And I got up and walked out. I got up and walked out. And that was my whole, and I was sitting there going, that fried rice looks good, but I can't do it.
Yeah.
I'm breaking my
You're like real particular about that kind of shit.
I like Chinese. I'm with the Chinese. They were here first. The Chinese were here first. When I got here from Cuba, there was Chinese restaurants everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All of a sudden, Thai and Sudami and Ethiopian food. I don't know what you're talking about.
I love Thai food.
Anytime I got to take my shoes off, that ain't a restaurant. That's a stink fest. You got a bunch of white people with stinky feet that haven't showered all day. Oh, let's take our shoes off. You take your fucking shoes off. I know what my fucking feet smell like. I ain't taking my shoes off because you're going to get agita while you're eating. It's like trying to eat while somebody's farting. You ever try to eat when somebody just farted a brown one in the air? Like it's that light shit. So that's how long I know Eddie. So when they would talk about jiu-jitsu, then they would get to the point where they would travel in packs. And we would go do comedy. And after comedy, they would clean out the fucking front. And Eddie would wrestle somebody from the staff. That was like a purple belt in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many nights. Tate Fletcher. Tate, it would be me, Eddie, Redman, Ari, Tate, Duncan, and Joe paid for Ari and Duncan to take jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody was taking jiu-jitsu except me. Mm-hmm. And they'd be out in that hallway fucking fighting to the death with furniture. I remember the Tempe Improv one night. It was fucking tremendous. Mm-hmm. And then we'd go to San Francisco. Little Denny would show up. I know little Denny when he was too young to come to the clubs. He was 16. He's the one that used to run 10th Planet San Francisco. Uh-huh. I still remember him being a 16-year-old kid and us sneaking him in through the back door and me going on stage, bringing Rogan up, and going back to the San Jose green room, and they'd be wrestling. Shoes would be off.
Yeah, man, like when you first started doing jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, they were ripping themselves
apart. When I first got into jiu-jitsu back in... Man, I don't know, like mid-90s in South Carolina. There was no jiu-jitsu in South Carolina. I used to have to drive to Virginia Beach to train with a blue belt. And then I'd go back and get one of my taekwondo buddies or hapkido buddies and show them what I knew. And then we'd fucking find a piece of carpet somewhere or wherever to fucking just train wherever, man. Because, you know, there was no mats. Or I would go to a jiu-jitsu school, a judo gym or something like that where they had mats and just roll with those cats like that, you know, so... That's when you're so enthusiastic about it. You don't fucking give a fuck. You just train wherever. You just can't stop thinking about it. Especially like if you've been a traditional martial artist like us, and then you know, you have black belts in these martial arts, and then you're getting choked out by jujitsu people. You're like, what the fuck? It's just like, you know,
yeah,
it's
just amazing. Eliminates karate and yeah, all that shit. Yeah,
you're just like, wow, yeah, man. So then that, I remember I was just obsessed and just roll anytime you could, you know, but now I've been doing it for 30 years. So it's
before
it's,
I hurt myself,
calmed down a little bit, but I still love jujitsu.
Before I hurt myself, I hadn't rolled for about 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I just do privates with this guy. Mm-hmm. He's a little older, and I mess around with him. It got to the point where, you know, when I went to Alberto's, I loved that shit. I just couldn't get to this couple positions, my breathing. But jiu-jitsu opened up my eyes to how bad a shape I really was. Like, it absolutely, opened up my man. Eyes to, it opened up my eyes to the fight or flight response,
mm-hmm,
which, we know what happened. I used to be a criminal.
Yeah.
So my flight or flight response used to be top notch. That's where you live on.
Yeah, yeah.
You, when I put a gun to your ribs, you got fly to fight like a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, yeah.
When I kick down a door and I'm looking, and I know for a fact Professor Joey has a kilo in his house, and I'm searching through shit, you know, your fly to fight response is there. You learn how to adjust to that.
Sure, sure.
You go deaf. If you're really a fucking real guy, you go deaf. If I know Joey parks the car at 7 and walks down whatever to go get the train over here in North Hollywood, mm-hmm, and me and Lee are going to jump you by whatever, those 3 minutes before you get there, if I do my job right, I should be going deaf.
Mm-hmm.
I should hear your steps coming very softly before I hit you in the head with a stick.
Yeah, because once that adrenaline starts adrenaline is a fucking crazy thing, man.
You know what got me to help my fly the fight? Squatting?
Like, what do you mean?
Heavy weights.
Mm-hmm.
I almost quit there, and I go, I can't. I have to tackle this problem.
You have to squat
for 3 minutes straight.
Yeah, man, you got to control your breathing, man.
And you have to control your breathing.
That's why I tell, when it comes to adrenaline, like I remember my first fight, my first professional fight, it was in TJ. They had us all in one room, man. We're all like, what the fuck? My opponent's over there. We're like, what's going on here, man? And then I had this, my friend Juan, his girlfriend, was like, how do you feel? Are you going to win? Are you going to do this? And I was just feeling waves of adrenaline. And it was like, I felt like I was just going to like fucking flip out, man. And then my instinct kicked in and I just started controlling my breathing. Like controlling, because if you don't control your heart rate, then your adrenaline will work against you. You know what I mean? That's why a lot of people like gas out when they fight in the UFC, because they let the adrenaline get to them and they blow their wad. You know, you've seen that 100 times in UFC. So like, I remember I had to control my breathing. So it's all about your breathing, man. If you can control your breathing, then you can use your adrenaline to your advantage. You know what I mean? And then your instincts just kick in.
It's so funny. Like, I got jujitsu, I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
I had to get my nose fixed.
Yeah, because your nose, So you got your nose fixed?
Got my nose fixed. I mean, not for vanity reasons. Not like I look.
Yeah, because you couldn't breathe, right? Would they go in there, clean scar tissue out or what?
Take everything out. That old cocaine rock.
Had like one, like, those Mexicans, it was crystallized in your nostril.
Yeah, those Mexicans built a wall of cocaine in my nose. I couldn't fucking breathe. Oh, and then I got a Dr. Belisa came on here. Mm-hmm. And she has a book called Breathe. And that really helped me.
Yeah.
Now, she recently sent me Breathing for Athletes. I just have not had a chance to crack a fucking book in 6 weeks.
Mm.
I'm supposed to write a review for her, and I don't want to write a fake review. I want to read the book and get some out of it.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But I had to read, like, you know, her thing is you breathe naturally. Okay, it was funny. My daughter came in here the other day, and she's punched that thing for 3 minutes straight. And when she finished, Dice goes, look at her. She's not even breathing heavy. My daughter goes to Muay Thai. And he don't stop for 45 minutes. You know, they have headgear. Her breathing is the way you should breathe.
You got to breathe.
Something happens when you're 14 or 15, like a traumatic experience, and your breathing deteriorates.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what it says in her book, Breathe. And this is why Boss Rutan invented that breathing machine. Mm-hmm. So I connected him and her and Boss together because they had something.
Mm-hmm.
That breathing piece, when I'm typing, I put it in my mouth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps with my asthma.
Mm-hmm.
You just put it in and breathe. As I'm typing for an hour, I'll fucking breathe with that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do different exercises. There's people who do actually fucking do jiu-jitsu with that thing.
Yeah.
It really helps you because it closes the hole, so you learn how to take more air in.
Your
lungs learn how to take more
air. Because people roll, man. And, you know, I have to remind people all the time. I was like, listen, man, you got to breathe. That's where you're gassing out. I can see you're holding your breath. Even like when I'm training with people with the kettlebells, you know, you got to make sure everybody's breathing. So there's different ways to, like, I mean, I've known about breathing since, like, my taekwondo man, Hapkido master, taught us how to breathe, you know? You got to breathe in through your nose out, slow your heart rate down, all that shit, you know? So it's important.
Your mouth has to be circle.
I practice a very simple breathing technique. You just breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth slowly, really slow. And then, like, you could do it different ways. You can breathe in, like, for 5 seconds, breathe out for 5 seconds, and then you can start increasing it. The way you slow your heart rate down is by through your breathing. It's very simple. And people have different techniques and stuff like that, but I've been doing that for forever, man, and it works for me, you know?
First month I did jiu-jitsu, I would have to run outside and take my gi top off.
Yeah, man. Because
my pants it's different.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know who because lives
you get claustrophobic with that gi on.
Marco lives in anxiety. Marco, the purple belt?
Uh-huh.
His anxiety is so bad when he gets on a plane, he passes out. Mm. He would tell you that.
No.
And that's to the point where I pass out.
Mm-hmm.
So it was something that was passed on from me, from my mother to me, and now my daughter has it.
Oh, wow.
When she hurts herself and you pick her up, she loses consciousness. You got to shake her.
Oh, wow.
She just fell a couple weeks ago at the park off the zip line, and fucking she hurt her back. I hit her pretty hard, and I had to pick her up and hold her. And I told her, just breathe out of your nose. And I still, the other day, had to talk to her about anxiety. I'm trying to talk to her because she's having a problem with it. It's something, like, I didn't know what it was. There was no anxiety when I was 12. There was no anxiety.
Yeah, people have anxiety for different reasons.
You didn't know what it was. It's just a feeling that, but I live in anxiety. What do you think happens to me 5 minutes before I go on stage?
Oh, yeah, that's normal, though, man, because you're about to perform.
It's not normal. It's not normal what I get. You're supposed to have butterflies.
Butterflies, yeah.
And so have a little bit of fear, not the shit I get. Mm. I get the shit that's telling me to quit, like get in the car right now.
Oh, yeah?
You did enough.
Yeah. You know what, man? I as many jiu-jitsu matches and professional MMA fights I have, even like if I'm going to compete in a jiu-jitsu tournament, on the way there, I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? I'm like, what do I do?
And then really?
I start talking to myself. Okay, I'm like, listen, man. I'm like, Joey, what are you thinking? You've had 100 jiu-jitsu matches. You know jiu-jitsu. What are you worried about? I'm like, I have to keep telling myself. But it did get really bad towards the end of my MMA career, though, because I was getting my ass kicked, you know? And after a while, it was just, the anxiety was getting to me to the point where I fucking looked like shit in the cage and I just wouldn't fight. And I was just like, okay, I'm done. I had three losses in a row. But the anxiety with MMA got to the point where it was having a really negative effect on my fighting, you know? I wasn't like believing in myself, but jiu-jitsu is a little bit different. I know I'm not going to get punched in the fucking face and shit like that.
I'm going to tell you what the secret is, Professor.
Tell me.
The secret is it's got to do a lot with breathing.
Absolutely.
But the secret is mindset.
Absolutely, man. You know, like,
the secret is how you look at things. You know what? You know when I have the best set in my life? Two things. When I don't give a fuck and when I'm having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I love to come up with a joke on stage that insults you that much that I laugh. Once I do that, I'm not going to lose.
Yeah, for sure. You know,
the first two times I drove to Alberto's, I parked and I said, what am I crazy? I pulled away. It took a lot for me to walk into Alberto's.
Yeah, I can imagine.
When I walked into Alberto's, the fear was gone. For the first 3 months, it was like, I can't believe I'm going to do this. But I had to turn my mindset around. I had to look at it as I was going to, A, have fun. Jiu-jitsu is
exactly
really fucking
like people,
fun.
But yeah.
When I'm on top of you and I fart by mistake, how much do we laugh? And I'm like, now I got you, Professor. Yeah, get off me. You smell. And
yeah.
You laugh.
Because, you know, like what happens is you build it up too
it
much.
Builds up.
You build it up too
That's
much.
That's what was happening.
Like, I mean,
to
you're
me.
Like, what am I doing? I'm just fucking going here to learn and have fun.
Oh, my God.
Fun.
As I was putting my gi on, I'm thinking I'm going to get a heart attack.
Yeah. People do all the time. Trust me.
Dog.
I see. I saw
horrible.
Like one girl one time, and you know, the gym's packed, and she's like this in the gym holding her purse. And I had to come up to her. I was like, hey, you okay? She's like, I was like, hey, it's okay. We're going to take care of you, man. I was like, we're just going to train. You know, you're like, they get scared because it's intimidating. You're going into school with a bunch of fucking guys choking motherfuckers and shit like that. I get it, you know, but it's really up to the people at that gym to make you feel welcome.
You know how many times I've had a fucking show at 7 o'clock The car's going to pick me up at 6:45. I'm in a strange town. Pick a town. I'm in fucking Dallas. I have been on stage twice at the Comedy Store. I wrote all week to prepare my mind. Mm-hmm. The day of the show, I actually sat down and wrote something opposite jokes to get creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And then an hour before the show, I look at my material. I make some lasting things. Then I smoke a joint. I go in the shower and I sit for 30 minutes. And that's where I get the, you know, like you start going, oh, maybe I'll add that here. Oh, shit, I'll put this here. I bang one out. You fucking dry off. You get ready for the show. Right then and there is where the fear starts for me.
Mm.
So on the car ride to the gig, once I get to the theater, it's all pure fear.
Yeah. I walk into the green room.
Bro, when I walk into the green room, whether I got to walk 100 steps, 100 yards, or 2 yards, mm-hmm. you got to hear my breathing when I walk into a theater. It feels like I'm about to have a heart attack.
Yeah, so that's when you need to really start controlling your breathing.
And right there is where I go.
You got to regulate it, yeah.
I start breathing. I sit. I drink water. And that's when I have to start doing what I... You know, when I write that shit during the day on Facebook, that's how I actually think.
Yeah.
Because if I let me think, I would think I'm a pussy.
Mm-hmm.
I would say to myself, if my post would be, why get up, stay in bed, it's hot out there, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
No, you got to think the opposite. Grab a knife, wash your balls. Somebody's going to suck your dick. Somebody's out there thirsty today. Somebody's out there dying to suck a dick, and you got tap on the menu. You know what I'm saying?
But you're right about the...
The mindset is everything.
One of the things I like what happened to me with the MMA is, you know, I'd come out and I'd see a big crowd of fucking people and I'd just be like, oh shit. And I would start fucking shitting my pants. You know, that's what started happening more towards the end of the career. And then I saw like Conor McGregor was commentating. They were showing like a montage of his fights and he was explaining what was going on. And then he was like, you see right here, he was coming out and everybody's booing him. He's like, you see that shit? They're all fucking booing me. He goes, I fucking love that because it's passion. And he goes, I use that. I turn that into positive energy. And I was like, yes, man. That's what you got to fucking do, man. Because, you know, that's what you're there to fight, man. He turned a negative into a positive. And that's, and I honestly think that's one of his strongest traits is his mindset. I mean, the guy's a fucking billionaire now. Look what he fucking has done. You know what I mean? So that's something that I really admire about people who fight in the UFC and are successful, man. You know how strong people don't look at what you have to go through mentally to fight like that. You're about to fight in front of millions of people, man. It takes balls and takes a lot of mental preparation. And that's when your coach comes in. Your coach, if you have a good coach, they should be preparing you mentally. Me, back then there were no MMA schools, so we were like self-trained. And I had my students would be cornering me, you know, and they'd be just as scared as me. They'd be like, oh shit, you know. But the mindset is key. It's key.
It's so funny how there's people who are good. There's people who, you ever hear those guys that come into UFC and it's like their first fight in the UFC and people are like, we've been hearing about this guy at the gym. He's at America's top team. Mm. He just goes through everybody. There's people who are gym fighters.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're tremendous gym fighters.
That was me. I was a gym fighter.
They go into the fucking arena. They see 2,000 people and they shit.
Man.
Let me flip the art on you.
Yeah.
I'm tremendous in the Comedy Store original room.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous. I could go in there and go 9 out of 10, mm-hmm. 10 times in a row because I know the nooks and crannies of mm-hmm. it.
It's like your home.
I'm great in the theater. I'm great at a comedy club. Tell me to shoot a special. I fall apart at the seams. I can't even think about it.
Yeah.
But if I don't have to shoot, you know, comics, a lot of young comics listening to this right now, you know how hard it is to get a tape? Like, this whole career, this whole business is based on a tape.
Sure.
You can't get to the next level without a tape. There's people who are just very smart comics.
Yeah.
I wasn't smart. There's comics who just buy a camera and a tripod and just film every set. And they just keep filming. They don't care if it's 3 people, 20 people.
Sure.
That's what they do. They watch the set. It's training. Mm-hmm. They watch what they did wrong. But they're also hoping, and through time, you just get used to taping.
Yeah,
that was
yeah.
my mistake. I never taped as a young
man. Yeah, it's just like
anything. I hate it. Who wants to look at me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You want to look at me? If you're me, I don't want to look at me. I don't ever want to see me up there.
Yeah, you got
to
get better. That's how you get better.
That's how you get better, though.
For sure.
And that there's people that are young comics today. I guarantee out of all those people who have really good specials, like I can see like an Anthony Jeselnik being a guy that taped all his sets coming up and got so comfortable that it's just second nature. I can't do well for specials. I don't even want to shoot a special again. But come see me live. I'll rock your fucking world. And in my world, that's what really matters. But
what you need is somebody like film a set without you knowing.
But who's filming without you knowing?
Like, I don't know, man.
That's the problem.
Maybe I'll pay somebody off.
No, who's filming without you knowing? You can't take a camera out of the comedy club no more. You got to get permission to put a camera in there. If a door guy sees you going like this, they're going to come to you and ask you to leave. Always have to be prepared. That was my knock.
Yeah.
I'm not good at specials.
Yeah.
And that, I tell you who that happened to. I'm not putting him down. I don't want either people to hit him up on Twitter and say he was a shitty fighter. I heard he was the best jiu-jitsu guy at the New York schools? Not Marcelo.
Henzo?
Henzo school. David Branch. Mm. I heard David Branch was beating people, throwing them through windows, arm barring people with one arm, fucking fighting people with his. With blindfolds, he can't catch a break. He got beat up in the UFC.
Yeah.
And he just got beat up last week in one fighting championship.
Yeah, man.
There's people who fall between the holes.
Sure.
I've always said
I honestly feel like I was like that kind of fighter because I would go spar at gyms.
And fuck people up. Light them up.
And people would just automatically assume like that I would just kill everybody. And then I would fucking like win one, lose one. And it was like hot and cold, man. It was like, you remember Frank Trigg?
Yeah.
Remember he used to commentate in the Pride?
Yeah.
I liked him because he was real blunt. And like when he would say something about a fighter in a cage, he'd be like, man, this guy, 50% of the time, it looks like he should be fighting the biggest MMA show in the world. And the other 50% of the time, he should be eating popcorn in the stands with the other motherfuckers. You know what I mean? And that's what we're talking about. And that's kind of how I was. Like when I would win and when I wouldn't think about it and I would get in that zone, I would zip through people like that. Like I would feel like I should be fighting UFC. And then another night, I would just like fall apart in there. I'm talking to myself in the cage while I'm fucking clinched with the motherfucker and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
So you wouldn't be consistent.
I was not consistent. I was not a consistent.
Right. That's a fucking nightmare.
Like I said, I had three professional losses in a row. And then I was like, that's it. I'm done. Because what happens is when you win, man, it's such an amazing feeling. Like fucking winning over a fight and somebody in the cage. And then people are coming up to you. You're the fucking man. They want your autograph. Like when I won a belt in Mexico. And then you keep searching for that feeling again, man. That's why people retire. They don't retire soon enough. You know what I mean? They keep fighting because the feeling of winning is just fucking, it's amazing. You know what I mean?
It's crazy when you see a fighter.
But I was smart enough to give it up.
It's crazy when you see a fighter or any professional athlete that's done. They don't know they're done.
Yeah. They don't want it. They don't want to accept it.
They don't want to accept it.
They don't want to accept it.
But they're done. And you feel bad for them.
Yeah.
I love when people say, well, I wish this guy fought this guy from the UFC.
Yeah.
And you're like,
somebody like BJ Penn, man. You know, really like he should have been retired a long time ago, man. I hate seeing that. I was like, why is he still fighting?
You don't want to see that. You don't want to see that.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
You know, he lost 7 in a row.
Man.
Why is he still fighting? You don't want to see that.
There's no need for it, man.
There's a time where you just switch off.
Yeah, because you can't have that fucking eye of the tiger forever, man. You just can't have it.
But how do you... I kind of understand it because if you have that mindset to be able to do it, like you can still have the mindset when your body's not there. So it's kind of hard to turn that mindset off, I would assume.
Yeah. Well,
mindset is also built from confidence.
Sure.
Mindset for a stand-up show or a wrestling match or a UFC fight is a different mindset than, say, how you look at things when you're going into them. You know? Going to a gym for some people, it's really tough.
Sure.
Going for a gym, it's tough for me sometimes. But I go in there looking at it like I'm going to eat pussy. You know, you're going to eat some pussy. Look at the gym.
Whatever you have to do to turn it into a positive.
A positive.
Like Conor McGregor.
That's.
You know, I could never, people consider me a funny guy at Legacy, you know, because I'm always trying to, I just like having a good time, man. But I could never see myself there. You should do comedy, man. I was like being up on stage like you do, man, I would shit my pants.
What scares you about it?
like if people aren't laughing, I get booed off the stage, you know, which is kind of silly. I've gotten my ass kicked in front of thousands of people. But check this out. So I had like my first musical performance, you know, and I have a singing instructor, Istani, and I had like maybe five lessons with her, and I hadn't been able to, our times were matching up, so I hadn't had anything. I hadn't been able to have any lessons with her. So I hadn't seen her in a couple of months. And I was about to take a nap, and she texted me. She was like, hey, I want you to perform in this performance at Genghis Cohen. My adrenaline went up. I was like, oh, shit. I have to do this because it's something that I've always wanted to do, you know? So I just fucking, man, I played those songs. But I did two original songs. I did them. I practiced them so much that it was like second nature to me. And then what happened was, like you were saying, was like at Genghis Cohen, Alberto was there with his wife, and there was like 10 people there from Legacy. And man, it just loosened me up so well. Yeah. I did not even fucking get nervous, dude. But then I also had like a backing band, you know what I mean? So I had something to fall back on. Like with comedy, it's like there's nobody back there like singing backup for you or anything like that. So it's fucking like, it's fucking crazy, man, you know? I don't want to end up like fucking Kramer from fucking Seinfeld. Remember, he fucking got heckled and then fucking lost it up there.
Well, he said he went up there and said a bunch of fucking racial
shit. Yeah. Because the guy was heckling, so he turned.
I wonder where that motherfucker is today.
It doesn't matter because I was looking on Google one time, and they always have like the top. Those guys are still making fucking millions of dollars from Seinfeld. They're making.
He's at home counting his money.
Yeah, but what good is it if he's home with the windows with the shades drawn?
That's true, man.
If you can't spend your money. Every time, every three black guys he sees goes, aren't you the motherfucker that said nigga on stage at the Laugh Factory? You know, so it's got to be tough for somebody like that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I mean, I respect like Louis C.K. I respect those guys. But then again, I know what it's like to come out of prison. Mm. And the word's out that you've been in prison. And people see you and they're like, and you have to tell them, like, where have you been? How was it in there? Oh, it was fucking Disneyland. It was Disney on Ice. How the fuck you think it was in there?
We got
to
like redid all that shit again. Life.
But it's so weird how the mindset of things, you know, even when I write comedy, I used to sit down and go, I don't know why I'm doing this because nothing good is going to come out of this. Now I look to write because I know the longer I sit down, I'm going to get one line. Mm-hmm. I just need one line cemented in my head and it'll stay in there forever. And one night it'll come out and I'll fucking die of laughter. And there you have it.
Yeah,
the mindset. Especially, you know, when the mindset of that I had between 94 and like till 2012 was completely different than the mindset I have towards comedy now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a business for me now.
Sure.
I have to be good. I have to eliminate this. There was a time when I went on stage and I was 50-50. I was a 50-50 percentage guy, especially if I improvised. Especially if I went out there and go, hey, how you guys doing
tonight?
That's
tough.
What's your name, buddy? What do you do for a living? I do kettlebells. Really? What, do you swing them? You hit people in the head with them? Ha, ha, ha. That shit's terrible. That's a horrible fucking way to do comedy.
Sure.
Not preparation.
Yeah, man, preparation.
Eliminates a lot of that fear. Preparation.
Do you your jokes for people and stuff like that?
No.
No? I mean.
No.
Like, that's what I did for the performance, man, is like I would invite people on my pad. I play songs for them and stuff like that.
No,
and,
I tell you to go, you know, fuck yourself.
Yeah. But you know what you need to do? You got to be like Conor McGregor, and you got to turn it into a positive. You got to think like this. Listen, why am I at this comedy club? Because people are here and they want to see you and they fucking love you and they think you're fucking funny as fuck. You know what I mean? Just go out there and do your thing. You know how to do your thing. You know what I mean? That's how you got to like think of it.
I don't look at it like that.
You should.
I look at it as.
You should, Joey. People love you.
I've been doing this for 20 years.
Yeah.
I've done halftime of the Buffalo Sabre hockey game. And that's the confidence I get that I've done this 1,000 times.
Yeah, for sure.
Forget about people. Listen, you love your mother. But if she slips up with the fucking recipe, you're going to go, Ma, what the fuck with this cheeseburger, bitch? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we all love our mother.
Well, you can't be on.
Ma, what the fuck?
You can't be on 100%
of the time. Ma, where's the fucking laundry? You didn't wash my shirt. I told you I had a date tonight. I didn't feel good.
I still got skid marks in my drawers.
Yeah, no. Listen, people love you, but you also have to deliver the goods.
Sure, absolutely.
So I've never rested laurels on that.
Yeah.
Whether they like me, listen to the podcast, they paid for a babysitter. They paid for a ticket. They paid for a fucking ticket service charge. They did 1,000 things for them to be here. I have to do 1,000 things to be my best for them. Whether it's combing my head. The only thing I don't do is wear a suit. Because I can't sell my material with a suit.
Yeah, it's just not you.
It's not me.
It's not you. I would love to wear a suit
on stage. Give somebody, in the 70s, you wore a suit to make people feel
professional. Yeah, man, you know what you should do? You should do one of those like suits like Eddie Murphy did in Raw, that red leather suit.
Remember in Hoffa how insulted he got when the guy didn't wear a suit? He came to a meeting in shorts. Those are the people I grew up with. You know what I'm saying?
You're talking about the Irishman when the guy showed up like that.
You show
like,
up with shorts. What the fuck?
That was funny. Yeah.
You show up late and with fucking shorts.
It's like, how you go to meetings?
That was like disrespectful.
That was hilarious. That was a good scene.
You always had a suit on in the 70s. You always wore a suit in the 70s. When you flew, you were required to wear a suit in the 70s. Yeah, look at the planes in the 70s when people flew. Everybody was dressed to the nines. Only now do you see people with flip-flops and dirt on their heel. Putting shoes up on your fucking thing. We've changed as society. But flying has become a nightmare also. Flying should be an experience. You know, when you go on vacation, I'm going on vacation. Doesn't matter whether you're going to Mexico, Mars, Jupiter. You're going on vacation. You're going on a plane. You're going to eat at the airport. You're going to see a bunch of people. What do? You get to an airport and they put you on a communist line for 2 hours. Shit that you don't know. All of a sudden you thought, oh, we got to throw your shampoo away. What the fuck? I'm flying with no shampoo. They threw away my fucking ear things.
Yeah.
You know, oh, what's these pills? Oh, those are my pills from my sciatica.
When you're domestic, do they make you take your shoes off and all that shit too?
Oh, yeah.
Domestic flights?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I got clear. And they still, unless you got TSA, then you don't have to take your shoes off. But, like, I'll fly with a warm-up suit.
You need that, like, what is it called? That global entry shit? Yeah, that global entry where you bypass all those customs and all that shit and you can just go right through. It's called global entry. It's pretty dope.
Yeah, it's great, but I got 19 felonies.
Like, you don't qualify.
Fucking entries, all right? I get TSA pre out of L.A.
Uh-huh.
They always give it to me because I fly 20 times a year. They know I'm not a fucking terrorist. It's the other plane. It's the other airports. The computer systems don't give me TSA pre. Plus, I have the clear, so I cut right through you anyway.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? I know how to fly, so I know not to wear jeans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't wear jeans to fly.
No, I like to be comfortable.
You have to wear warm-ups, so you have to take your belt off. You know, you got to wear sneakers in case you got to run through an airport. You know, you got to wear flip-flops.
Sure.
You know, I'm going to wear flip-flops. What if you got to run through an airport and there's an active shooter?
You also have to have, like, easy access because in case you become a member of the Mile High Club.
Always. You know, you got
easy access.
I don't drink alcohol on a flight. Mm-hmm. I don't try to retain sodium.
Last time I did
just
that,
drink
man,
water,
I got
no diet soda, no nothing. Yeah, I don't do nothing on the plane.
I did
just
that
water.
Once, man, before I got on
it's,
a plane.
It's so never weird how bad I feel even before when I take care of myself and I fly like long distances, I feel it for a couple of days. I could imagine people who don't take care of themselves when they fly, how they feel. I just ordered like one of those tight pants that chick wear, yoga pants.
Those spats?
I'm going to start wearing spats under the sweats.
I see a lot of people wear those.
I couldn't believe how uncomfortable I was. I had to wear
it
for my leg, for the hamstring.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because the blood clots. Yeah. So I put them on both legs. I was like, dang.
A lot of people put them under their gi pants.
Imagine what your farts are going to smell like. Stuck in those spats.
No, you got to like open it up, fucking let the aroma out.
I get nice and stuck in there. Anyway. You know, but no, it's the mindset is really big with everything. You know.
Yeah, man.
When you get into jiu-jitsu, when you walk in that door, the first 3 classes, you realize you're completely lost. People mounting you, people passing your guard. You know, if you took a look at the percentages, people probably quit after 4 classes because they don't think they're going to achieve that. There's people that go, fuck, it's hard. Let me put my head down. Somebody smart like you goes up to them and says, come here. You see what's happening today? It's going to happen for the next 11 months. Enjoy it. In a year, if you keep coming here 3 times a week, you'll be doing what they're doing now.
Oh, man, I tell people that all the time.
And some people will put their head down and do exactly that. Fight through whatever and commit to it 3 times a week.
I have to explain to them that
everybody goes
through the same process.
Everybody goes through the same process.
I tell people, like when you start jiu-jitsu, you have to master tap jitsu first. To learn how to tap with your foot, say tap with your hands, whatever, you know, because you don't know anything. It's like learning a language, you know, like I'm going to give you a couple moves. It's like giving you a couple words, and then later on you're going to learn how to put it into a sentence and connect the dots and all that stuff like that. That's jiu-jitsu. It takes time, just like anything else. People ask me, how do I get better at jiu-jitsu? I was like, you got to do it more. Just like anything, if you want to get good at something, you got to do it all the time. If you're doing jiu-jitsu for like once a week, you're not going to retain anything. Twice a week, three times a week, a little bit better, but you know what I mean? You got to just keep doing it, man. So like, yeah, I go through that every day. I have to encourage people. I even had like a blue belt once, man. He was on the couch. I could tell he was like real sad, like almost in tears. Blue belt. And he's an older guy, man. Great guy. But man, you know, he's getting smashed by all these young cats and stuff like that. And he was like, ah, professor, man, I think I'm just going to fucking quit, man. I'm just going to quit. I get my ass kicked every day and this and that. And I was like, listen, man, I had to sit down and talk to him, you know, because, you know, people get the blue belt blues, man. Because that's the cutoff point. Blue belt, people get their blue belt. They either drop off. If you make it to purple belt, statistics say that you're going to eventually go to your black belt. So, man, just exactly like I see it all the time. I have to like encourage people because people get discouraged, you know?
You go. Sneaking a fly. I got a nice garlic one for you. I took three tablets today.
Disgusting.
This morning. Wait till you get a whiff of this.
You take garlic tabs?
Yeah. And I took three because I wanted to be special for them. And I had a salad too, which pushes everything out. Take a whiff of that.
How much would it cost to have you sit here and just choke him out every time he does this?
Oh my God.
He loves that stuff. He's a real man.
I would have him wear one of those fucking masks.
He doesn't mind the good fart from time to time.
You ever see those masks that the, what are those called? With the
sleep apnea mask.
When Asian people wear, you know, like when they're sick.
I'm trying to build a contraption. I'm trying to take my sleep apnea machine and figure out how to put it on people. And fart. So they can just get a full sleep apnea in their fucking mask.
Oh my God.
You know,
that was, oh my God,
that's the system.
Oh my God,
that a farting explain. Sleep apnea machine. You don't even know it's coming, you're just breathing because there's nothing better than farting and somebody walks into your fart and catches a huge breath of it.
And then it's like,
you know, many times I caught a manager one night at a comedy club. I had just farted and he came in with his mouth open.
Oh my
God, I remember him like looking at me like a dick one in his mouth. And I go, Doug, if I was you, I wouldn't stand there. I go, you already know. You smell. You fucking lived that fart.
Oh,
you,
my God.
You just walked into it. He just walked into it and took a deep breath, and it was all over but the shower.
Oh, my God.
How, you know, it's so weird. 2020 is coming.
Mm. You know? I know, man. That's crazy. 2020.
This is why I wanted to get you on to just talk to people. You know, I tell people all the time, if you're thinking of doing resolutions and you wait until January 1st, you lost already.
Yeah.
Start right now.
Yeah, people like to, I'm going to start in the
New Year. Because December means 10 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
People have no idea that once you hit December, it's 10 pounds, matter what.
I don't know what it is, man. Around this time of year, December's I fucking 10 crave pounds. Sweets.
Sweets. They're everywhere.
Fucking sweets, man.
You know what I had yesterday?
I want all this shit.
You know, yesterday I had a rough day. I put my cat away.
Yeah, yeah,
12
man.
Fucking years.
Sucks, dude.
I had to put him down. And this is the one I made the promise to the quick cocaine. I made 1,000 promises to 1,000 people, and the one I kept was to a cat that didn't even know he made a promise. I just got on my hands and knees and said, God, if you save this cat, I'll never snort coke again. I had to put him down yesterday, and when my wife got back, I didn't feel too good. When she left, I thought I was having a stroke because I got up and I laid on the floor with him until they took him, and I hadn't eaten, and I got up just to make a protein shake. And I made a wrong protein shake. Like, I put mayonnaise in it.
Oh, shit.
Like, I did shit. I don't even know what I put in it. I put the wrong. I don't even put milk in protein. I make a protein shake with water.
Mm-hmm.
And I put milk and ice cream. I go, what am I doing? That's how disheveled I was. I had to start from scratch. But when she got back, she goes, what do you want to do? And I go, listen, I know that you're too upset to cook. Let's go get a couple pieces of sushi. And when we walked out, she goes, are you happy? And I go, I feel a little better. And she goes, what would make you happy? And I go, honest to God, something that I haven't had since I started jiu-jitsu or anything. She goes, what's that? I go, a piece of apple pie. Just because I'm petrified of diabetes. Petrified, professor. So I said, let's go get it. So we went over to 420, and we split a Dutch apple pie with ice cream, you know. That was the extent of it. But
yeah.
Usually I watch myself a lot in December.
Yeah.
Because those cookies add up.
Yeah, man, I don't typically eat a lot of sweets.
I could eat a box of candy canes if you let me. Oh, man. While you're watching the news, you know, one candy cane.
You know what's going on now too is parents are bringing like fucking freshly baked cookies and they're putting them on the table right there. And I can't fucking just look at them, man.
No, like, you got to watch yourself this time of the year. Man, you got to really, really watch.
And I typically don't eat sweets. I don't keep any sweets in my pad because I'll get stoner munchies and I'll fucking, if it's a box of cookies or something, I'll eat the whole box. So I don't even keep anything in my pad that I have to cook everything. You know, I make sure I have to cook it. Otherwise, I'll get like the munchies and eat all this shit. But
it's funny because yesterday I ate six. My points for the day are 41. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm allowed. And yesterday I ate 60. Thank God you have like extra points to dip into. But I ate 60. Man. No, I ate 60 because the pie put me over. Mm. The pie and the ice cream put me over for the top.
Oh, man, it's like pure sugar.
You got to watch yourself this time of the year. Do you get a lot of new students now in the first?
Like usually in the new year, you know, that's when, like you said, everybody has the resolutions and everything, and then people pile in, you know. But I mean, like, geez, man, we already have so many students there. But we have people coming there all the time. But around the new year, that's, you know, we usually do a special. And absolutely, we get people who haven't been there in a while come back, and then you get new people that come in, you know, with resolutions and stuff like that. But I agree with you, man. It's like, you know what, don't use that as a crutch. You know, if you want to get in shape, just fucking start now, get in shape and just do it, man. You know, don't wait. Oh, I'm just going to do it to the new year, man. So I try to never stop like working out, you know, I'm always doing
something.
I really
like and respect what you do. You post your videos every day, win places show, you know.
Yeah.
You're showing people the flows you're doing. You explain the flow of the week.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, you have a really, really good system over there.
I appreciate it, man.
Be fucking swinging no kettlebells for an hour, though.
Yeah, well, we don't swing the kettlebell for an hour, man. We always warm up with, we always do mobility.
What's your class consist of? If I get there at 5:30.
If you get there at 5:30. At 5:30, you're going to come in, we're going to do mobility.
Which is
like neck rotations, shoulder rotations, elbow rotations, hip rotations, you know, get the blood flowing in the joints and stuff like that. Okay. It's something that I never used to do before, but like in my late 30s, I started getting injuries and I was just like, man, I'm not warming up enough. And so especially like as we get older, we got to get blood flowing into those joints and stuff like that. You know, so we do that. It's a really, for the first like 20, 25 minutes of the class, it's all very low impact. Like isometric stuff, like planks and stuff like that. Then we get into some body weight training. And it gets a little bit more intense. And then the like last 30 minutes of the class is when we start getting into the kettlebell, little by little. So like whenever you see the video that I post, that's like the very last
They're already portion. Warmed up.
We've already built up. Okay. We've already built up to that.
I'm like, if I got to walk in there at 5:30, then he's going to hit me with a figure eight.
Oh, fuck no, man.
I'm going to have a heart attack. No, that's a heart attack.
I would be hurting everybody, and I wouldn't have anybody in my class, man. So, like, it's like when people come to the gym, man, it's my priority to keep them safe. If I'm hurting people in my kettlebell class, nobody's going to come. I won't have a fucking job. I've been fucking teaching kettlebell classes for 10 years, man. You know, that's really what separates me from all these Instagram kettlebell flow people, you know, because if you look at them, they're not training anybody. When do you ever see me post a video of me just working out by myself? You know, is they're working out by themselves because they're not training with anybody. That's why I don't like working out by myself. I like working out with my students. It's more fun. You know, I practice what I preach, but it's very sad.
You're not there with a whistle. I watch.
No. I watch. I don't use a dry erase board or anything. All my workouts are in my head. I know my work, my own program, you know, like the back of my hand. But like safety is key. I never force somebody to use too much weight that they're not comfortable with. I'm like, hey, how is that weight? Is it too heavy? We can go lighter. If it's too light, you know what I mean? To me, in the beginning, it's more about technique. And then it's really about what you want to do. You know, like if you want to progress and gradually you have to start increasing the weight. If you want to get a little bit stronger, you have to increase weight a little bit. But even then, I don't go super heavy, man. I'm not really into doing like max reps and stuff like that. It's because when you start going heavier and you start doing max reps, then you're pushing yourself to do more weight than your body's accustomed to. And then that's when people start getting injured because you start losing form and stuff like that. And another reason people get injured too is because they don't warm up enough. So if you're really warm and you don't go too heavy, then chances are you're not going to get hurt.
The primary focus of kettlebell is strength or cardio or both. It's supposedly like
in my classes, you do
superior
everything.
Tool for both.
Yeah, I get like in my class, you're gonna get strong, and you're gonna burn a ton of calories as well. You know, so you're gonna get strong because always practice in every class. You got to think about the movements that we do in everyday life. What do? We squat down and pick up stuff. So we squat, we do lunging, we hinge, we push, we pull, and we do some rotational stuff. So if you're working those movements, like with resistance and stuff and body weight, then you're going to build functional strength. If you combine those movements and do like compound movements that involve multiple motions, like squatting and pressing, like say for instance, you get a kettlebell, you squat and you press. That's it's called a thruster. You're working your whole body together. So you're developing strength that way as well. You're also developing muscle endurance and stuff like that. So there's different ways to get strong.
Now the thrusters, that's when you squat. On the way up, throw it up.
So like say for instance, CrossFit people, they do thrusters with the barbell. That means they squat and then at the top, throw a press and you squat and you press. So you're just working air. It's a fantastic exercise. With kettlebell, you have like a bunch of different variations because you could do it with one kettlebell. You could do it with one kettlebell racked in one hand. You could do it with two kettlebells. You can add a twist to the punch at the top of the thruster. So that's why I like kettlebells because it allows for a lot more natural movement. And I don't go super heavy, man. I don't really believe in I think a lot of people lift really heavy because it makes them feel confident, you know, it makes them feel that they're strong and stuff like that. But I'm a fucking fighter, man. You know, we get 220 pound guys come in and I can roll them up because I know jiu-jitsu. So like how much weight you lift, it doesn't matter to me. You know what I mean? Because I know like later on in life, like when you get our age and stuff like that, you're not going to be fucking trying to fucking deadlift fucking 500 pounds and shit like that. You know, you got to think about sustainability and stuff like that. So like when it comes to kettlebell work, man, I think maybe my main bell that I use most of the time is like a 16 kilogram kettlebell.
Which is 32, 35.
It's like 32. Pounds. Yeah. Something like that.
I'll go over 35.
Yeah. For swinging, I'll probably do like, maybe like 24 kilograms and stuff like that. I don't go super heavy, man. I don't feel like I need to. It's just, for me, it's just supplemental training to add to my regular jiu-jitsu training and stuff like that. Dude, it's just a supplement to keep my muscles strong.
Now, who's the guy that most of the training is based on? Pavlov? What's his name?
Oh, no.
The Russian. What's his name? Pavel.
I don't even think he's Russian, but a lot of people think he invented kettlebell training. That shit's been in fucking Russia forever, man, you know? And you know what's funny about kettlebell training is there's not a clear history of kettlebell training. But Pavel gets credit because he's really the person who brought kettlebells to America and popularized it, you know? But he has a whole different philosophy, man. Like, his thing is my original kettlebell coach was certified from Pavel. But they have this whole thing where you are the guy, you must swing with 40 kilos. And my instructor would be like, dude, you're an MMA fighter. You should be swinging with this much weight. I was like, dude, my back is fucking hurting class. I'm like, why? Like, and I realized we wouldn't warm up, but that's how he teaches. If you see his video, like he has this one video. It's like, if you are not tough, we make you tough. You got to see the video. It's like, it's almost like a joke, man. You know, like personally, I have never been a really big fan of that guy. You know, but he has his own philosophy. He was just on Joe Rogan's show, you know. Pavel, you gotta check it out for yourself. He wouldn't tell Joe Rogan asked him how old he was. Did you see that?
No. I didn't.
Right there you can see Joe got turned off because he's like, hey, so how old are you? And he goes, I'm 20. And he's like, he goes, no, but really, how old are you? And then he wouldn't tell Joe Rogan his age. And Joe Rogan was like, hey, I'm 52. Are you older than me? Are you younger than me? And he was giving Joe the runaround. He wouldn't fucking do it. So Joe Rogan was like, what's up with this guy, you know? And then, you know what's funny is a student explained something to me. He was like, man, you should be as famous as these guys and this guys. He's like, but what happens is these guys, they know how to hack something and they figure out how to get like marketing and stuff like that. They find the marketing niche right there and then boom, they blow up. But I study people, man. I see if somebody says they're this and then that, I research them. And to be honest with you, I've never seen that guy actually work out with the kettlebell. I've seen him demonstrating kettlebell exercise and stuff, but I've never seen him do an actual workout, like an hour-long workout. Now, if you look up somebody like Steve Cotter or Steve Maxwell, who are my early influences of kettlebell training, those guys were always working out with fucking kettlebells. They're always training people. That's why I like those guys. I'm like, okay, these guys are legit. They actually train people. I love Steve Maxwell. I love Steve Maxwell. I love Steve Maxwell and Steve Cotter. Those are two, like, and if you train in kettlebells, you should research the OG cats like that. Those guys were doing it before us. Those guys were originally RKC people, but they, you know, philosophies differ, so they broke off and did their own thing. But those guys know their shit. And so, like, for instance, whenever I first started learning kettlebells from one of those RKC guys, they talk about the snatch, like it's the best kettlebell exercise in the world. Oh, if you can snatch 100 times, your jiu-jitsu is just going to go through the roof. But I would do the snatch. I was like, come on, man. It's a core-based movement. It's not going to make your jiu-jitsu better, you know? And I don't feel like it's a true test of strength. But back to Pravo, last night on Joe Rogan's show, he was asking us, oh, so what kind of workouts do you do? You know what he told Joe Rogan? He said, I do swings and dips only. That's all he does. And Joe Rogan says, you don't do anything else? He's like, no, because I feel those exercises cover everything. Swings. So a swing is a hinging movement. So you're primarily working your butt, your hamstrings, your abs, your lower back. And, you know, you get a little bit of a full body workout, but man, it's not the be all and end all. There are so many other movements that you should really focus on, you know, not just swings and dips. And the dips, what are you working? You're working your lower chest, you're working your triceps, you're working your shoulders, you know, your core a little bit. But I'm glad he said that, because he teaches everybody all this kettlebell stuff and barbell stuff, yet he doesn't even do it himself. You know what I mean? That's why I'm glad he said that, because there you go right there. Because back in the day, I even remember back in the day in martial art magazine, he would advertise in the magazines, the kettlebell is the AK-47 of the Russian Spetsnaz, make you strong like Russian Spetsnaz, you know, like stuff like that. And I was just like, give me a fucking break, man. And then he goes on Joe Rogan last night and talks about how he only does two things. So he doesn't do all the snatching and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So that, to me, it's not authentic. You know what I mean?
When I get off a plane now on a Sunday, I do three sets of swings, three sets of cleans, and Turkish get-ups.
Mm-hmm. The Turkish get-ups, that's a whole other thing. You could probably...
I do a half a Turkish get-up, up to a knee.
If you know how to do them...
Five on each side, three times.
That's a great exercise.
And that's it.
And by the way, like...
And I feel completely better.
You funny you bring in the Turkish get-up, though, man. It's like a... I had to stop calling it the Turkish get-up, because at Legacy, we have like a ton of Armenian people. And it just was not fucking jiving with them, man. They're like, fuck that. I'm not going to fucking do that shit. I'm going to do a fucking Armenian get-up. And I get it, man. You know what I mean? I'm all like, fuck. So I'm like real self-conscious about saying that now. So I just call it the kettlebell get-up now.
It's
but
crazy.
But it's a great exercise. And it's very specific to jiu-jitsu, because the Turkish get-up is basically the same thing as what we call the technical lift in jiu-jitsu. And you're going to use that movement. Like if you roll, you're going to use something that looks like the Turkish get-up multiple times within that rule. So that is a great exercise. I definitely recommend people learning the kettlebell get up.
What is your next certification?
I'm actually going to be in Texas in March.
Okay.
March 14th, I'm going to be at a place called Rise Kickboxing. I'm going to be doing a 4-hour workshop there. And then shortly after that, I'm going to have a certification here in Burbank.
I just saw that there was somebody took a picture like in France. Mm-hmm. One of your students opened up a school in France or something.
Student?
I don't know. They got certified by you, whatever the fuck. You certified them and they went on to open up a school and they sent you like a little video.
Was it a girl?
Yes.
Doing the rolls?
Yes.
Oh, that's she's going to be stoked about that. Her handle on Instagram is Val Powerful. So she reposted a workout that I did, like a jiu-jitsu specific bodyweight flow. Yeah, so like, yeah, man, it's cool, man. I have followers all over the world. It's pretty cool, man, when people do that. It's very flattering. I dig it, man, you know. Somebody in the other side of the world is doing your shit, you know. But like, she came. She's been following my workouts. She purchased my downloads online. So then when she was in town, she came and she got like a couple private lessons from me. So she understands, and she's already a trainer, and she trains people as well. So yeah, that's what you're talking about. Man, I don't even see you on Instagram half the time, but you're on there, man. You're scoping people out, huh?
I'm watching.
You're watching, man.
I'm watching. You're learning.
You're like,
I'm
like,
watching what people
you're like
do
in ninja
wrong.
Mode. You're just like watching.
I watch what people do wrong on Instagram, on social media.
Sure.
What people do right. I'm learning.
Yeah, yeah, man.
I'm learning to see if
study
this guy
people.
Posts on Saturday, what kind of results is he getting?
Yeah.
You have to see where your social media is in your world, and you're doing a great job with it.
I mean, I appreciate it, man. You know, I do it because I love it, man. I, you know, honestly, I don't like social media. It's kind of a pain in the butt, but we got to do it, you know? And I always feel like I have to be posting things, but, you know, I'm happy to be doing it for a living, man.
Well, you think about what you do for people.
Absolutely.
How many people go on Facebook at 9 in the morning and already you got
a that's the way I look at it.
A 3-minute video up.
Cool, man. And if people...
Maybe I need to work out a little bit today. Maybe I need to go out and make
art. I get that all the time.
I have to go to Hollywood. I got to do this. I won't have time to go fucking a kickbox.
I get that. People hit me up and they're like, I see you training at 5:30.
Let me do 5 sets of swings.
Yeah.
You know.
But make sure you warm up first, Joey.
I think if you look at it, okay, just to let you know, people at home, if you do, let's say, kickboxing.
Mm-hmm.
If you do kickboxing for 15 minutes, you burn 8 points with
Weight Watchers. What?
If you do...
What is that, your Weight Watchers app?
If you do a kettlebell workout for 15 minutes, you burn 10 points.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing burns more calories than swings, I heard. I think it's swings and swimming.
I can see, yeah. Swings
and swimming.
But if they say kettlebell workout, it could mean a bunch of different things, you know?
When I do my little 3, 3, and 3, mm-hmm. it's 10 minutes. It's 10 minutes.
And you just use like a light kettlebell?
35. There's no reason to go over. Before I even met you guys, Lee and I went to a kettlebell class where the guy would have you swing at 85 pounds.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I would do it on Tuesday, and I couldn't do nothing until Friday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the law of diminishing returns.
Exactly.
With kettlebell.
That's why
if I can only do something twice, I'm not getting.
See, that's like
That guy that fought John Jock, the white dude that has a jiu-jitsu school, and years ago, Roy Harris.
Oh, yeah, Roy Harris. Yeah, I remember him.
I read his jiu-jitsu thing, and it was brilliant. About why schools aren't doing this and this. He goes, and I talked to Vinny Magalese,
mm-hmm.
told me about a month ago, because Vinny, CBD Lion, was looking to get somebody from PFL,
mm-hmm.
and I called Vinny for something.
Yeah.
And it was funny that Roy Harris was the one that really made me start thinking about what am I doing with jiu-jitsu? Because mm-hmm. he goes, listen, when you're over 40, the rules are completely changed. And he goes, that's what the problem is today. That when you're over 40, you go to a jiu-jitsu class and you feel inadequate because the 20-year-olds are kicking the shit out of you. You know, they're just kicking the shit out of you. They're more mobile, whatever. You know, your testosterone starts to decrease at a certain age. And he goes, I treat my 40-year-olds and over completely different than I do my...
That's why they have, like, the master's training at Legacy on Sundays, you know.
He was saying that. But the master's only Sundays at 8 a.m., mm-hmm. So it fucking kills you.
Because that's the only time that...
I'm either out of town or who the fuck is up at 8. I work on Saturday fucking nights.
Yeah.
You know, at 8 o'clock in my house,
yeah.
It's still fucking action. Take a whiff of this one. This is tremendous garlic, Lee. Oh, yeah. This is the root. Sometimes you get a fart that's
it's
in
like
the middle of the root.
Italian like, garlic fart.
It's tremendous. Look at him. He's all happy.
Start putting oil down on the floors again. Your other hamstring.
He's got to drive to Ontario. Just because you fuck up my hamstring, I don't mean to farting.
No, but it'll keep that you down
means,
on the couch.
That means I'll fucking eat 6 of those pills and blow your fucking eyebrows off your head. You don't. My farts will fucking burn those eyebrows like drinking poopah fucking vodka. So no, that's and that's what I'm saying. Like if you're looking to really make a splash, you know, contact professor, let's say you live in Iowa or something, just get yourself a 35-pound dumbbell and contact Professor Joey Alvarado.
Kettlebell.
Fucking, what did I say, dumbbell? Kettlebell, whatever the fuck. You know what I'm saying, that thing.
Yeah, yeah. The thing.
What fucking thing? The thing you taught yesterday. I don't know what I taught yesterday. The thing with the arm and the fucking legs. Alberto used to go nuts. What thing? The thing. Yeah, I don't fucking know. A Kimura. I don't fucking know.
Show me that thing.
That wasn't a Kimura. That was a Kama Plata. Okay, whatever the
Kama Plata.
Kama Plata. Whatever the fuck it is. Go Plata. Omo Plata.
Plata, yeah.
Fucking, I got more Platas than fucking anything. Listen, look up Joey Alvarado on Instagram. What do you put your work on that? Instagram.
Yeah, I see him on Instagram, Facebook. Facebook, everything, man.
Well, I appreciate you coming on.
Man, I always love coming on here. Can I give a shout out to my sponsor, the Kettlebell Kings?
Yes, absolutely.
Always hooking me up with the best kettlebells.
And Rogan still watches your stuff. He says you're fucking crazy.
I want to give that guy a workout sometime.
Fuck. I think over 50, we can't do that complete fucking kettle thing. But I'm happy you came in.
Thank you for having me. I always
listen,
love coming
man, I want to let people know 2020 is coming. I don't agree with people whining that, well, we live in a fucked up society, you know, Barbie should be fat. No, she shouldn't. Barbie shouldn't be fat because you're fat. You're a fat fuck because you eat. That's why. The same way with me. I wish I looked like the guy from fucking Aquaman. We all do. But you're not just born like that. Yeah, you can go down to the doctor and take a couple shots, but you still got to lift weights and go to the fucking gym.
Yeah.
The main thing is just being healthy, bro.
Yeah.
Just being healthy. Get your blood going. Get your oxygen
Find something
moving.
That you enjoy doing.
Something you enjoy doing and go for it. It's 2020. Whether it's Zumba, bitches. You sat there all fucking year thinking about what you were going to do, and at the end of the day, you didn't do dick.
Yeah.
You didn't do dick. So it's over. That's why I love Mondays. I tell people all the time, Monday's my favorite day of the week. You know why? Because you get a second chance at everything. Comedy, jujitsu, boxing, eating pussy, licking asshole, sucking dick. Let's say you're gay, you suck a dick on a Friday, you don't do a good job. The guy don't call you back.
That's why people like your Monday motivation, man. Like
that's what it's all about.
My boy Wyatt Earp, I told you about the kid that loves you. He's like, tell Joey I love his Monday motivation.
Mondays is what it's all about.
It makes you laugh, and it gets your ass, like, you listen to
it. Get the fuck up.
How can you get depressed after you listen to Joey doing the Monday?
Somebody's dying to suck a dick out there, and you're walking around, I'm having a gloomy day.
Yeah.
Take that dick out and go on a fucking hunt.
Also, let me say something to people. Like, you know how people get really depressed over the holidays and stuff like that, man? You know, I had a student recently talk to me. You know, that's one thing about being a professor. Like, they confide in you.
You're their priest, man. You're their priest, my rabbi. When I was there with you, you were everything. I told you the truth. I can't do this.
Yeah. But, man, you got to keep your head up, man. You know, you always got to, if you have a roof over your head and you have food, man, you know, you got to stay positive and you got to just overcome that and just don't let the holidays get to you and stuff like that, man. My mom was, her birthday is on Christmas Day. And my brother, rest in peace, his birthday was 3 days after. Yeah, he was murdered 6 years ago, you know? So,
sorry about that.
But no, it happens, man, you know, but it's life. We have to move on and we have to, you know, just do what we love in life. And just stay positive, man. You know, and just
keep. But 2020, don't think about what you don't have.
Exactly.
Think about what you do have.
Exactly.
And how fucking lucky you are.
Exactly.
When you see
somebody,
God forbid, in a wheelchair, and you're complaining, go fuck yourself. Put yourself in his fucking shoes for one day, you little fucking pussy. Now cut the shit out.
Listen, Uncle
Joey. Check out Joey Alvarado, and listen to your Uncle Joey real quick. The church is brought to you by Policy Genius. Are you covered for life insurance? No, why would you? You don't think that way. Neither did I at 38. But if you start now, before you start slipping and you have a pre-existing condition, everything works out. What happens if you slip on a banana peel? What is your kid still has to go to school? If you're not covered already, put life insurance at the top of your to-do list. Policy Genius makes it quick and easy. Find the right life insurance at the best price. With Policy Genius, they do all the legwork, and you get covered. Go to PolicyGenius.com right now. In minutes, you can compare quotes and get the best possible price with Policy Genius. You can save up to $1,500 a year. Don't be a fucking dummy, all right? Once you apply, they handle all the paperwork and the red tape. Policy Genius doesn't stop at life insurance either. They can hook you up with homeowners insurance, auto insurance, and disability. Listen, it's a pain in the ass to get insurance. It really is in today's world. Policy Genius makes it nice and easy. So if you need life insurance, head to Policy Genius. If you need home insurance, head to Policy Genius. If you need disability insurance, head to PolicyGenius.com right now. It only takes a few minutes to find the right insurance company for you and the right life insurance policy. Apply and have another thing crossed off your list in 2020. Policy Genius. When it comes to life insurance, it's nice to get it right. And tell them the Church of What's Happening Now sent you there. Another gift you could do for yourself over the holidays. Athletic Greens. Joey, what's Athletic Greens? Listen, it's vitamins. Can you imagine starting your day off with a blast of vitamins? Who's going to stop you? Nobody. If you want to feel tip-top Magoo, let Athletic Greens do the work. With one scoop, You get 75 essential vitamins, minerals, probiotics, prebiotics, digestive enzymes, and raw superfoods and whole foods. They got everything. No more pill bottles or trying to choke down a dozen apples. It's all in one pack. Me, I use the travel pack. When I'm on the road, a little Athletic Greens is like a daily life insurance. You know, I'm out there in New York and all these places. Everybody's fucking, I'm getting new germs thrown at me. So I want to be double fucking sure when I'm on the road. So I pop a little Athletic Greens with some water, and it's got everything in there, and it's plant-based. If you're on keto, gluten, no chemicals, no artificial flavors, no artificial preservatives, no artificial sweeteners, the added sugar, no GMOs, herbicides, pesticides, wheat, dairy, gluten, corn, lactose, sucrose, ducrose, egg, yeast, peanuts, or animal products. These guys are by the book. It's legit. Guys, you need to take care of yourself. And that's why I recommend supplements to everybody. It's easy. Just add cold water and shake it up. That's it. You can take that banana and shove it up your ass. What are you waiting for? Listen, the Church family, you get 20 free travel packs valued at $79 with your first purchase. So do me a favor. Go to athleticgreens.com right now /church to get your travel pack. That's athleticgreens.com/church. Church is also brought to you one of my favorites. I brought one for Professor.
Sweet.
CBDLion.com. When it comes to CBD products.
It's going
to
make me sleep.
No more voodoo. No more liquor store. This is the real deal. I love everybody's getting into the CBD business now. These guys, I've been with them for years. And why I recommended them is because how good their product is. My hamstring is getting put together by their CBD products. Whether it's the lotion, whether it's the gummy bears, whether it's the vapor pen, which has no vitamin E in it, that arsine that's killing everybody, whether it's the shatter, whether it's the tincture, CBD Lion has you covered. Go to CBDLion.com right now and look at all their third-party test results. Your head's going to fucking blow off your shoulders. Go to CBDLion.com and press in church and get 20% off your first order delivered to your house. This is a Christmas present for somebody you love. I want to thank Athletic Greens. I want to thank Policy Genius. And I want to thank CBDLion.com for having our back. But most importantly, I want to thank you fucking savages for listening. Next week's Christmas. Guess what? You ain't got time to be depressed. We'll be here with you, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
I want to thank Professor Joey Alvarado.
Thank you,
over
man.
At Legacy. Go catch him. He's got a 5:30 a.m. class, a 6:30 p.m. class during the week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I think it's 11 on Saturdays?
10 a.m.
10 a.m. on Saturdays. Go visit him and tell him I sent you. Besides that, have a great fucking weekend. Enjoy yourself shopping. Go to Amazon. Do your last shopping. Use the Church of What's Happening Now link. And that's it, and that's that.
Yeah.
I want to thank you guys, and I want to wish you all a happy holiday season. And Hanukkah's around the corner for you fucking Jews. Get ready. Sharpen that dick and put some fucking grease on your shoes. It's time to slip and sue somebody. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I love you cocksuckers.
Happy holidays.
Kick this motherfucking Mule Lee.
Play some Skinner.
Give me back my bullet.